All right. Welcome to this week's lesson. And we are going to start by really just connecting some dots, because remember, we're always integrating what we learn so that it builds and it connects and we can set you up for success for what's to come. And so just like a recipe, you know, you wouldn't add flour and sugar and eggs one by one until you mix them together, right? We gotta mix them together. And so that's why we wanna make sure that we are integrating things as we go and connecting all the dots. But first, I really just wanna take a big picture recap, because remember, this program is designed to give you the strategy, the system, and the support that you need to break yourself out of that cycle of overeating, really teach and feed your brain a new definition of health, and heal your relationship with food for good, but not just take the stress out of eating. We also want to put some peace of mind and ease and pleasure back in, because you know, as I say, if love and warm chocolate chip cookies is wrong, I don't want to be right, okay? So remember, this is not just another program or plan. This is a conversation, and it's a conversation where it's not just implementation, or I should say it's not just information. It's also about the implementation and the integration, and that means you plus me equals us. That is a collaboration, right? It's this conversation where slow is smooth and smooth is fast, and we go heal this thing for real so that you can be done with this for good. And so I really just invite you to stay in this conversation, the one where you decided to just really take the leap and, you know, ditch the band-aids and the quick fixes and stop trying to out-motivate and outwill your smarter, like your longest running habits, right? And really just start taking a smarter and simpler approach to your struggles with food. And yes, this is really about who you are as a woman. As you're learning, it's not just about the food, right? And so to ensure that these shifts keep happening, this isn't just some plan or program. We are going to be focusing on the information, the implementation, and the integration, okay? So one other thing though, like no one can be an expert on you. You have to become the expert, and that is how you do that, okay? Because your struggles are three-dimensional, right? A body solution isn't going to cut it, and a mind solution is going to get you closer, and a brain solution is going to get you even closer, but it's got to be all three, because your problem is global and you need a three-dimensional solution. And so you're here right now because you're shifting from, you know, just looking at it like a body thing and shifting to a brain thing, and that will in itself completely transform your life. And like, but you've got to let it, right? You've got to mean what, like, you know, doing what you're doing right now, like essentially hitting that restart button on all of it, like the way you're living and breathing and thinking and seeing and feeling and eating, all of it. Like, you know, I call it self-imaging, but it's got to be done to yourself, by yourself, not by yourself as in alone, you know, but as in by you, like taking yourself through this process. This isn't my process or journey, this is yours. And so every woman that goes through this program has a different experience of it. So, you know, get whatever you need. And I promise you, there's no wrong or right way to do this program. But I am gonna just keep inviting you to come back to the present and come back to the current step or the current ingredient and really just come back to the now, okay? Because the truth is, you can't outsmart any of that. You can't outsmart or outperform or out-diet your self-image. But we can out-self-image dieting and, you know, self-deprecation and unhappiness, and really go earn back your freedom, because it's yours to be taken. And that's why, you know, we've got to keep integrating as we go, because this is not just a six-week conversation. This is a forever conversation. And that really just brings us back to week one. We talked about your forever self, right? Like, who? What are the traits of your forever self? Like, who is she being? Who is she? Like, we talked about her physiology and her psychology and what she's focusing on and what she's thinking about. But also, like, what kinds of questions is she asking? And, like, what's the version of yourself that you're no longer willing to accept? And what's the line that's being drawn in the sand? And, you know, why this time is different? And it's not just because you say so. It's because you're making it so. And, like, this isn't like anything you've ever done before. So why is it different for you? And not what you think my answer is. Like, what's your answer? And why maybe you need to declare it again, or, you know, to really, really, you know, memorialize the fact that this time is different, okay? And because it really comes back to what we are feeding, okay? And so we've been doing the reps. You've been feeding it, right? We've been ritualizing your success in minimums, not maximums, just really rewiring your brain for peace and gratitude and really celebrating what is working rather than what's not, or looking for the problems. You've been seeing your life and your struggles and your successes through new goggles, and you've been taking on that new experiment mentality and the skills that come alongside with it, okay? So we also talked about healing the cycle of overeating and really understanding what that looks like for you, okay? And so remember, the intention is about like it's an unbecoming, like it's a clearing of the way where like you're permanently conquering it. Like so whether that's a binge or a mindlessness or stress eating or emotional eating for you, but really how to heal it for good. And, you know, the becoming side of it is really just as simple as like becoming the version of yourself that she just doesn't use food any longer in that sense. She doesn't feed her feelings. She doesn't eat like that. And so we talked about the fact that your brain is three-dimensional. And, you know, the one that I specifically highlighted was that social brain of yours, the ACC, okay? And so, of course, that took us directly into, and part of it is like we have to make sure that your self-care recipe is three-dimensional. We're going to actually get into that this week. But we went on to speak about the female brain, that social brain of yours, the mammal brain, where, you know, it's also where you experience and house pain, okay? And so your social brain, the ACC, like the way you can remember it is acceptance, connection, and care. But again, it houses your social and emotional and physical brain pain. So it's where the opiate receptors and the pain receptors are. And so we talked about how, like, if we're to bottom line it, it's where your brain processes, detects, and assess whether or not you're getting that external and internal acceptance, connection, and care. And we also talked about, obviously, it registers emotional and physical pain, but it's also bigger and more active in females than it is in males. And that's why females can feel a little bit crazy if you're anything like me, but we're actually wired to be more emotional, okay? And the other thing is that this is a require, not a desire. You have to get that connection, ladies. It's a non-negotiable. Your brain is going to get it, whether or not you feed it or not, okay? And so we also got a little bit woo-woo for a moment, like talking about how, like, really, you know, the social brain starts to develop at 13 and, you know, what does she need? And keep refining your forever self and filling her unmet needs because, you know, again, she's going to get it. And we just need to make sure that you are, you know, meeting her needs as well, okay? So we talked about this concept of like the short-term brain versus the long-term brain, really short-term change versus long-term change and how to create what I call neuromagic, right? And so we distinguish the difference between change and transformation in your brain. Change is always going to be this like conscious, mindful thing versus transformation is like, you know, teaching your brain to do it and then it just becomes you without having to consciously think about it, right? So yeah, long-term change is like, again, if you're working with the brain, which we talked about laying down those positive neuroassociations, after a little while, because your brain is happy, it becomes you and you don't have to spend that time, that energy to stay the course. It just, again, it just becomes who you are and you don't have to mindfully practice it, but you've got to get those reps in the beginning, right? And so we also talked about how the magic ingredient to do that are those positive neuroassociations, as in like, if you really want to know how to create that fast and effective brain change, like the kind that's going to stick without you having to spend energy or time thinking about it, you're going to want to know about those positive neuroassociations because when it comes to the brain, we talked about what gets fired together gets wired together, right? And our brain is constantly making those new neuroassociations, whether we're aware of it or not. And you know, those neuroassociations are really just the links that are created between what you're experiencing and then the emotions and thoughts connected with it, okay? And so experiences that elicit those positive emotions, such as, you know, happiness or joy, they're going to fire and wire a positive neuroassociation in your brain versus if you're experiencing negative emotions alongside any activity, your brain's going to lay down and fire and wire negative neuroassociations alongside it, right? Just like we talked about in the Tale of Two Cookies, right? You know, one experience of that same cookie, it's still the same cookie, has a negative experience, right? And negative neuroassociations, and one has positive, right? And so how do we get your, you know, essentially, how do we go from change to transformation? How do we go from short term to long term? Well, you know, your brain, like once your once your brain is fed enough repetitions and it has those positive neuroassociations fired and wired alongside the activity, the habit essentially gets moved from that short-term part of your brain to the long-term part of your brain. It gets moved down to from the, like, making it a prefrontal cortex mindful thing to this area of storage called the basal ganglia. But it's not going to get there if there's negative neuroassociations alongside that habit. So that's why you can't outsmart your brain. Like, your brain knows if you hate it because it can feel it, right? And it's never going to become long-term, right? And so how do you make habits stick? Well, we talked about that too. Like, you've got to make your brain happy so that it carries out those reps and so that it enables it to move down deep into the storage part of your brain, into that basal ganglia for long-term storage. And so the biggest factor that we talked about that is really pleasure, right? So pleasure, or at least at the very least, it can't be pain, right? It can't be unenjoyable. So what gets fired together gets wired together. Like, so your new habits have to feel good, right? If you got to want to do them, and it's got to be fairly easy for your brain, okay? And that's why you can't just stop an old habit. Like, you can't just leave the original stress and body in the brain without replacing it, right? Because, like, even if you don't like the habit, so, like, maybe it impacts your health or your self-esteem, your brain likes it. Because if it's getting dopamine, like if it's getting the payoff of comfort or ease or pleasure, right? Like, you know, endless TV or sitting on the couch or whatever, you know, we are all essentially drug addicts and we are seeking that pleasure relaxation hormones, like, you know, dopamine and serotonin and that crazy potent one we've talked about, which is oxytocin, right? And so if you want to make a new habit sticky, as in like stick to your long-term brain, it's got to be two things. It's got to be fun-ish, or at least you can't hate it or dislike it. And it's got to be easy-ish. Like, it can't be super hard. It can't be super energy intensive or difficult or take too much time or energy. And so that's why we have to work in, like, A, influencing how we want to feel and influencing that, but also working in minimums, okay? Really working in minimums, but also doing it in a way that makes us, it, like, gives us pleasure. And in order to replace the old habit, we've got to make it fun and easy. And we can't just like take away pleasure and give you pain. We've got to, if we're going to take away pleasure, we've got to replace it with pleasure. Okay. And so again, we, you know, just in real life, like, what's this look like? You know, you can't just cut out all of your pleasurable foods and replace it with a diet that you hate, right? You can't, because that's, again, taking away pleasure, replacing it with pain. You can't just go cold turkey and stop, you know, binge Netflixing in binge style and then go say, I'm going to do something I hate. Instead I'm going to go work out 6 days a week. Your brain is not going to do that very long, okay? And you can't just stop drinking your daily glass of wine and not put something of pleasure in its place, because that drug addict in you is going to say, like, wait a minute, where is my dopamine? Like, you took it away. I need it back. Okay. And so if that's what you've really got to remember, if you want to create those long-term habits. Okay. So again, you got to make it feasy, right? So it's got to be fun-ish and easy-ish, or at least not hard and not, like, you know, hateful. And so when you give your brain that pleasurable habit to replace the old habit, that squirt of dopamine will give your brain all it needs to get used to repeating and practicing it, and enough for it to make its way over into that long-term storage in the basal ganglia. So the bottom line is, ladies, your journey matters. How you feel along the way absolutely matters. In fact, that is the make or break factor in whether or not your habits stick. And it really is just science, okay? So then we moved on. We talked about the next concept, which is control versus influence, which is, like, you are never going to create freedom in a world of control, right? Control is the opposite of freedom, okay? Freedom is a choice, but you've got to choose it. And so, you know, if you're living in a world of, like, good, bad, right, wrong, should, shouldn't, and forcing yourself to do or not do something, you know, if you're flip-flopping from one extreme to the next, or, like, if you're always, like, running a tight leash or controlling yourself, restricting yourself, like, or to the opposite, like, no guidelines, no structure, gluttony, like, essentially living with carefree abandonment or reckless abandonment, that's a problem. Like, it's the story that you feel like you have to restrict or control or confine, but also the strategy of restriction, controlling, and all that, that are the problem. And so those goggles that you're seeing yourself through in your circumstances, you've got to change that. You've got to see that control is the problem. Most women think, like, oh, I wish I had more control. No, control's the problem, ladies, okay? And so that we talked about that cycle between, like, too much permission versus too much restriction, and how that is the roller coaster that we're all living on. And we, it forces us to either be all in or all out, where there's no middle ground. And this is, you know, this holds true for any drug of choice, whether you're trying to, you know, overcome your struggles with food or whatever mindless or comfort habits you're using. It's all the same part of the brain, okay? But here's the thing, ladies. The only thing you can control is you. all you can do is influence who you're being and how you're feeling and really how you're reacting or responding to what's happening. You can't control anything else. All you can influence is who you are being and how you're feeling, okay? So then we brought it back full circle to that ACC and talked about food, feelings, and females, specifically the female brain, right? And we talked about the fact that the part of your brain that's looking for, you know, that acceptance, that connection, that belonging, that care, that ACC, this is where you're also, it's the same part of the brain that's really just like looking for reward anticipation and dopamine. And so, you know, that impulse control part of your brain. So hello, like binge eating and stress eating and emotional eating and any mindless behavior. This is that part of the brain where we elicit and look for that oxytocin, that safety, love, comfort hormone. And so we talked about how this is really the part of your brain where your food and sugar habits live, and the compulsions or addictions have little to do with nothing. Well, let me say this a different way. The compulsions and addictions to food and sugar, for example, have nothing to do with the food or sugar themselves. The addiction to binge watching Netflix has nothing to do with the Netflix itself. It is the mismatch that's getting fired in our brain. And so what I'm talking about here is like, most women have simply fired and wired that food or sugar as comfort and safety and connection, because like as young children, we are conditioned to fire and wire that sugar equates comfort and emotional safety. But sugar doesn't give us oxytocin. It's mainly giving us that dopamine hit, right? So it's a bit of a mismatch in the brain because, you know, we are thinking we're getting that, we're looking for the oxytocin, but we're really just giving it endless amounts of dopamine. And so from a young age, sugar and connection are getting fired and wired together, and we've equated the two to go hand in hand. And then fast forward to adulthood, we're practicing the same thing. So when all that stressless, you know, habits and the self-sabotage and stuff comes into play, you know, we as adults, we're still desiring the same thing. We want that oxytocin, but we're actually getting it less and less because of digital age and because of just like life. Life gets in the way, right? And so instead, we're feeding our social brain with things like, you know, internet and social media and stuff like that. And so in turn, we are being overfed but undernourished. Overfed with dopamine, but undernourished of what our brain really needs, which is oxytocin. So we're giving ourselves those, you know, little doses of dopamine and still hoping that it'll give us like what we really want and feed that craving. But it's like if you've ever eaten an entire bag of Cheetos or like a package of Oreos and you're like, how am I still hungry? It's because it's that emotional hunger. It's not a physical hunger, okay? And so that's the endless loop that happens with us, right? It's just like a nonstop endless loop where, you know, we're feeding ourselves that mindless activity. In turn, we're giving ourselves endless amounts of the high itself, but never really giving ourselves that what we're truly desiring, which is connection and the oxytocin. And so we're feeding loneliness and isolation and lack of fulfillment. And we're doing it accidentally. It's not on purpose, right? We don't know what we don't know with our own coping mechanisms. And really, we are going to stay overfed and overnourished. And so I find that when you can simply understand why you do what you do, and that you're not weak-willed, you're not a self-sabotager, your brain just got wired in a mismatched fashion, you can have more compassion for yourself and you can release those chains of shame and that self-loathing that just perpetuates that cycle and actually, you know, go start finding your solution, right? And so remember, you know, the social and emotional part of our brain that needs connection, she needs belonging and inclusion and to feel love and comfort and safety, she really just needs oxytocin, right? And because like, here's the thing, we are all drug addicts, but your brain will get it. It just becomes a matter of what you feed her. And remember, when I say love and connection, as in like it's the love and connection and safety hormone, I mean feeling connected mentally and physically, but also socially and emotionally. Like that social brain needs to be fed. It needs to be loved. And when I say drug, as in we're all drug addicts, you know, I mean I'm talking about that literal drug, the hormone oxytocin. Like we are all craving that oxytocin. And when your heart feels safe and comforted and loved, we get it. But TV and sugar doesn't give us that. It's just a mismatch, right? And so again, looking at it, like what if connection was your solution? What if that was your solution? So here are those new truths that we're walking around with now, right? Where your female brain, yeah, it's different than the male brain, right? But also we as females, we're more emotional beings, as in like we are wired this way. So we don't want to feel bad about it. We just want to own it, right? And that the part of our brain that experiences physical and emotional pain, it's bigger and more active in the female brain than it is the male brain. That's why we have the majority of a lot of these emotional social struggles. Men have them too. Don't get me wrong. They just manifest very uniquely in the female brain. Okay. And this is the part of our brain that's in pain when we're reaching for comfort, when we're reaching for numbing or engaging in that mindless behavior. And remember, you're not reaching for the drug itself. You're not a sugar addict. You're not a chocolate addict. You're not a TV addict. That is an identity. I used to have it too. You have simply practiced using that as a drug, right? You just want the connection. You want the oxytocin, and it's because you're human. We all want that. Okay. So then we took all of that and we fed that through the eyes of the new red. Like we looked at some new goggles, some new reds, and really took your awarenesses to the next level. And again, we're still ritualizing your success, looking through new goggles, and with that new experiment mentality. And we're now walking around with the three magic awarenesses, which is the why, the what, and the how. And it's a totally different game changer, or totally different conversation, I should say. And it is a game changer. Then most people are just focusing on the what, but they're focusing on the wrong kind of what. They're focusing on the what of like what I should do, or I'm supposed to do, or what, you know, the diet industry said to, versus like what will actually bridge the gap between who I'm being and how I want to feel. It's just a totally different conversation, right? So looking ahead, still going with this mentality of slow is smooth, smooth is fast. Slow is smooth, smooth is fast. You know, let's take a look at what's coming ahead. Okay, so this week I'm going to purposely just like slow you down a little bit and have you connect to your self-care ritual and figure out what that looks like for you and get you really thinking about your future so that we can create you a path for success. Okay, so this week you'll see there's only one video after this with one outcome, and that's just to make your self-care super, super simple and really to make it your own. Okay, but so one last thing before I get into that. You know, from here on out, here's how I want you to think about your journey and the intent that shapes the content, okay? You are either walking towards or walking away from what you really want. And what you really want is freedom, happiness, and peace of mind. I know you might think you want weight loss. I know you might think you want to, you know, look smaller or fit into tighter clothes, but really you want what that's gonna make you feel, which is the freedom, the happiness, and the peace of mind. So what if we started walking towards that in the beginning from here on out, right? Because at any given moment with any decision that you're making, you are either walking towards them or you're walking away from them, okay? So the doing side of things will always come when you start walking towards those things. But the other side of it is like who you want to be, that forever self that we connected to in week one. You're either walking towards her or away from her in any given time. And most times, 9 times out of 10, if you are walking towards strictly weight loss or smaller jean size, you're most likely going to be walking away from her. But if you walk towards her, you'll most likely make the decisions that would get you a smaller weight or in a smaller jean size, if that makes sense. Okay, so again, you've decided to become her and you're committed. We just want to keep that in mind as we go, that you're either walking towards her or away from her, walking towards happiness, peace of mind, and freedom, or away. And it just becomes a matter of what you are feeding. Okay. So here is what is coming next, ladies. Let me just tell you how this is going to work. So we're going to go on your next big fat eating experiment. The cool thing is that the hard work really happened last week. Okay, now it's just a matter of like wash, rinsing, and repeating and figuring out how to make it even more successful. So how you're going to do that is below this video, you have what's called an experiment diagnosis. I'll talk about that in just a second. And then we're also going to create new intentions for this week, okay? And so here's what happened last week is last week I invited you to go on your first big fat eating experiment. And we started at the intent. Like we went really, really narrow and deep into the intent that shaped the content. And we talked about all of these intentions, like freedom, peace of mind, overcoming that calorie phobia, that carb phobia, and understanding hunger and healing your diet mentality and using a structure that has, you know, freedom built into it. And I mentioned freedom like 3 times, right? Because that's the game that we are playing, ladies, right? And so we set your own intentions as well. And so I told you that no matter where you're starting, you obviously started at the intent, but then phase one was for everyone was where no matter what, you just start there with the mini food awareness experiment and those 3 magic questions. And I told you like this could be all you do if you choose, right? But if you did want to influence the what side of things a little bit more, I also gave you the invitation to go on a little choose your own adventure, and there were two different options to add to that. But again, I kept asking you to come back to the intent and not get caught up in the content, like not to overthink it, right? Not to make it complicated, not to overanalyze it or question it to death. Really just do your best. This is never about being perfect. It's about becoming intentional. And really, again, if you haven't noticed a theme, focusing on the intent that's driving the content. If you're focusing on the content more than the intent, you are headed in the wrong direction, okay? So here's what's next. We need to, you know, for lack of a better way of saying it, we need to analyze our results, right? We're a scientist. We got to figure out like what happened, what's the conclusion we're going to draw, and how can we set ourselves up for the next experiment? So what you're going to do right now is you're going to diagnose yourself. You'll see there's an experiment diagnosis that's right below this video, and you're going to assess what's happening, and you're going to take some time and just identify the following. Like, what was great about the experiment you just went on? What was challenging you? What challenged you and what is challenging you? And what do you want to recreate? Like, what worked? What are you bringing forward into the next experiment, right? And then what's next? Is there something you want to add? Do you want to try on something new? Or do you want to just continue to ritualize what you're already doing, right? And then where do you need some help, support, feedback, or guidance, right? Really get clear on that. Like, where do I need some clarity? Where do I need some cheerleading, some support, some reinforcement, right? And then, of course, we want to integrate that into your forever self, okay? So you'll see that right below this video. So that's what you're going to do next. You're going to diagnose yourself using the experiment diagnosis, and always an invitation without expectation, but invitation without expectation. But send your results into the help desk. I'm here for you. Even if you just want to share and declare and don't really know what you're asking, send it in to me and let me know what's going on with you, okay? Then we're going to get you set up for your next experiment. So it's really, really simple, ladies. We're not complicating it, okay? So option one, if you're feeling pretty good and you just need to tweak a bit and get in some more repetitions, like more practice, here's what I want you to do. You're simply going to do the same experiment that you did last week, and now you're just going to tweak and adjust as the ways that you identified in your diagnosis process, the experiment diagnosis that we just talked about. You're going to just identify the tweaks that you want to make, and you're going to make them. And then you're just going to create new intentions for the experiment using that intention worksheet that I gave you, okay? Now, if you're feeling like you want to switch things up, like if you need a lot of tweaking or you feel like you want to try a different experience, here's what I want you to do. You're going to go back and just try the other option from last week. See how it feels, that other choose your own adventure option, right? See how it feels. And then again, use that intention worksheet before you start, create those new intentions. And then afterwards, you'll go through the diagnostic process again at the end of the experiment. And then you'll have so much more data to figure out what you want to do next, okay? So that's really it. You're going to take a look. You're going to do the experiment diagnosis and get ready for your next big fat eating experiment. You're going to set some new intentions. And then when you're ready, and you can just get that going and have that going in the background of your mind and get the ball rolling on that while you get your week started. And then anytime this week, you can dive into, we're going to talk about how to make self-care super simple. And so you'll see the information, the implementation, and the integration is all in one video. Okay. So that is it. All right, you are going to go ahead and dive in, get into your diagnosis, get into the new intentions, get into self-care made simple, and I will see you over there. Bye, ladies.